hear that loud either, do you?
Sure.
If it's not loud enough, I'll yell. How's that? We got plenty to talk about. But, you know, it's funny. It's, this week, I found myself having a really hard time studying. With everything that was going on, and with everything, it's like the Lord decides that, or the devil decides that you need a challenge, and the Lord decides that he's going to help you through it. And somehow we got a sermon this morning. So we'll see what God's done this week, because it's been kind of crazy. We've been going through these questions. This one's actually a little bit of a follow-up on what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. A couple of weeks ago, you know, we talked about we've been talking about salvation, what it means, and last week, you know, what must I give? How do I know, or you know, what must I give 2 weeks ago? How do I know I'm saved? Last week, how do I have this assurance of faith, so to speak? Well, this week, I'm following it up with another one that kind of goes along with salvation. This was actually presented to me a couple of weeks ago, and I found it a very interesting question. But as I start this morning, I want to tell the story about a new preacher and the town drunk. And I know I've probably told this here maybe once before. I think told it with when Nick was present, but I can't remember. But it, you know, I told it maybe about him then. I know I've told it before in the pulpit, but there was a new preacher. We could insert my name if we want to. But it was the first time he had ever been in church as a pastor. He had just started in the ministry and decided that one day he was going to save the town drunk. He decided that that was his mission for the day. So he went downtown and found the guy and took him over to the city park where they had this running river. Decided he was going to take him over there and he was going to teach him about Jesus. So he talked to him for a little while and then he grabbed him and just dunked him under the water. And he pulled him back out. And he said, "Did you see Jesus?" And the drunk said, "No." And so he took him, he dunked him under the water again. He held him a little longer and pulled him back up and said, "Did you see Jesus?" And he said, "No." And he took him and he held him under the water again. And just before he lost consciousness, he pulls him back up and he says, "Did you see Jesus?" And he says, "Are you sure this is where you left him?" But I tell that and it's, you know, it's all humorous. But the thing is that it's kind of where we are in the faith today. We go and we try to show someone Jesus, but we forget that, you know, we forget where we left him sometimes. We forget where we've moved on. And today, the question that was posed to me was, what are the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? And what name should we be baptized under? And I was like, okay, we'll try this. We'll see where this goes. So I'm going to present this to you in a couple of different ways. But the first thing I want to do, I talk about baptism because I think that's the first thing we need to understand for us to be able to answer the rest of this question. First, we need to understand what is baptism. It leads us into a difficult conversation. It leads us into a difficult situation, but I want to break it down in a couple of different ways this morning, and I hope you'll give me a moment. Mark 16:16 is where I'm going to start. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to stay there by any means today, because there's too many scripture on baptism that we need to look at as we go through this. But baptism is one of the most important things that we see in the Christian faith. Now, I'm going to answer this question with a yes. I believe that we should be baptized. You know, so if we start there with the question, should we be baptized? I say yes. That's my personal opinion. I don't know that that's the right answer. And I will present that to you in this way. Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." I mean, there's really not another way to word it, but I find it interesting in that scripture. It says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Let's open in prayer this morning. Lord God, we just thank you for allowing us to come into your house and to see your word in our lives, Lord, to see you active in us, to see you move in us. And Lord, we pray that you would move in this service today, that you would be glorified through the words that I share, Lord, that they be your words, not mine. We just pray this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I say the answer is yes, that we should be baptized. I also say that the scripture does not tell us in certainty that it was required. Now, I'm not saying that it's not something that shouldn't be done. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, even in this verse here, it says that if you believe and are baptized, you will be saved. But it doesn't say that if you believe and are not baptized, you won't be. It doesn't say anything other than if you don't believe. It doesn't throw the baptism back out. Now, the reason I say that, obviously, if you believe, that comes first. It becomes belief, then baptism. What I want us to see is this. We also see a number of scriptures that talk about baptism. And one of the most well-known is dealing in the baptism of Jesus himself. If Jesus felt it was important enough to be baptized, I'm going to tell you, it's probably important. Does that mean that we get it wrong? I can present you a number of different scenarios that we could look at throughout life that on whether baptism is required or not. What I will say is this, that baptism, in my opinion, is obedience. Baptism is us following Christ's way. Christ was our Savior. He came to this earth and he was baptized for the remission of sins, which is funny because he didn't sin, but it wasn't about his sin as why he was baptized. I believe Jesus was baptized as an example for us. Jesus was baptized to show us the right way to go. Jesus set the example, and in that had to be baptized to set the example for us. I also believe that Jesus knew that one day our sin would be on him, and therefore he was baptized for the remission of sins that he did not commit. Now, if we look at it that way and we start to put it together, there is symbolism within baptism that leads us to a place of worship that we can truly embrace who God is in our lives. We can truly embrace what God is doing in us. We can truly understand a little more when we understand what baptism is. Baptism in itself, Jesus was baptized because of the symbolism. There's a reason that there's water in the baptistry today. And we'll talk about the story that kind of leads us into that. But what I want us to see in this is simply this, that it marks a change in life. It marks a symbol of renewal. Baptism in itself doesn't do anything for you. Baptism is being dunked in water and brought back up. But there is a symbolism within that that is vitally important to our spiritual health, to our spiritual being, to who we are as Christians. Now, that, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm saying that there's no specific body of water that is required for baptism. I've seen baptisms in the ocean. I've seen them in the river. I've seen them in a baptistry. I've seen them in a swimming pool. They can take place in many different forms, in many different places. I don't think that any one is less than another. Because it's not about the water that you're being baptized in. It's about the spiritual happening going on within you. It's about the change that is taking place within you. And baptism is our physical appearance. It is our physical representation of us being cleansed by Christ. Of us being cleansed of our sins. Of us being washed. There's a reason it's almost like taking a bath. I mean, in all reality, you're being buried and brought back to life. There's so many different symbols within the church today of what baptism is. It's a burial by water. It's us being put under and then brought back up. So is it obedience? Absolutely. Is it a requirement? I don't know the answer to that. And the reason I bring that up is what if someone were to come forward today, yet we had a problem with the baptistry? and they accept Jesus and they claim him as their Lord and Savior and they believe in their heart, and then they walk out the door of the church because we weren't able to baptize them this morning, and they were going to come back this evening to get baptized, and something happened. Lord forbid something happened after they leave the church and they're killed in a car accident or something. Does that mean that they are not truly saved because baptism did not take place? It's all in how we look at it today. It's all in what we look at. I want us to understand a couple of different things, but what I want to do first, I want to go to why baptism is important, and I want to go to the book of Acts for us to do that. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we see a story that shows us why baptism is important. It also shows us some other things about baptism I think we need to know. Starting in verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself in this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. They began to talk about Scripture. He began to show him. He's reading the book of Isaiah. Now, this is an Ethiopian eunuch. He was in line to the queen. He had been charged over all of her treasures. And he says to Philip, he says, I need someone to explain this to me. He said, I can't understand without explanation. And the place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I believe that what this is saying to us today is if you have the opportunity to be baptized, don't wait. Take the opportunity somehow, some way. Do it as soon as you possibly can. I believe baptism is important, and here's why. Because it says here, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's exactly what we go through when we talk about it within the church today. When someone wants to be baptized, what's the question we ask? Who do you believe Jesus Christ to be? And you get the answer, the Son of the living God, the Son of God. There's many different answers that are given. Do we truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God today? Absolutely. If we didn't, we wouldn't be here. But we believe that's the belief that the Scripture is talking about. That is the belief that the Bible tells us that we need to have. And then it's followed by baptism. And it says, And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in the cities till he came to Caesarea. Philip was told by the Lord to go where he went, and the moment he was done with what he needed to be there for, he was swept away by God to another place. But the eunuch wasn't bothered by Philip disappearing, because he praised and rejoiced God because he had found salvation. He had something for him that moment was designed by God for this Ethiopian eunuch to come to God. It was designed by God for the Ethiopian eunuch to find salvation. But I love the fact that he says, look, here's water. Let's do this. I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm able. You're able. Let's do it. But here's a couple of things about baptism that I find here that I believe that we fully embrace within the church today. One, baptism needs to happen. It is an obedience. And in fact, in seeing what the eunuch does, I think baptism is a necessity, not because it's required, but because it's desired. The eunuch is the one who asked to be baptized. Philip didn't bring it up. All Philip did was tell him about Jesus Christ. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and we believe, baptism comes as second nature. It's not something that we think we need to do. It's something we want to do. It's something, it's that outward appearance to show that we are set apart, that we are something different, that we are not like others. It doesn't mean that we're trying to say I'm better than you. It just simply means that we want to do what is within us, placed there by the Holy Spirit. We want to be baptized because we want to serve the Lord properly. And that outward example, that declaring Him before men, that showing the world that we have been changed, that we have been washed clean, that we have been set apart, that is what Christians are to do. The eunuch asked to be baptized. The second thing is, you can't sprinkle water and call it baptism. I'm sorry, but the eunuch was baptized by immersion. And if you don't believe me, it says so in the scripture. It says when they were come up out of the water. It doesn't say when Philip sprinkled water over his head. Now, I know there's a big debate within the church today. I think baptism happens more. We could get into all of this. What I believe about baptism, that it immersion truly and fully embraces what it's about. No matter how it happens, though, baptism doesn't necessarily come by water, but it comes by fire. It comes by the Holy Spirit. It comes by the circumcision of the heart by God, not necessarily that it has to happen in a physical form. If believing baptized, in my opinion, does not necessarily mean by water. It does not necessarily mean that someone has to be dunked under the water to be baptized, because the Holy Spirit baptism is a whole lot better than any physical baptism we could act like we have here on earth. Because in some places and in some cases, people have just gotten wet. People have just gone under the water, come back up. They called it baptism and they went on with their lives. But unless you are baptized by the Holy Spirit and allowing God to work in your heart today, were you really baptized and changed? Are you really saved? Some people get baptized in water just to cover over something and make themselves feel better about today. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think it's important. I believe it is a very active thing within the church today for folks to believe and be baptized. But it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that truly touches someone's heart. It's the baptism that's sent by God. It's the helper, which leads me into the first part of the question we started with this morning. What are the names of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost? Well, I think we know the name of the Son, right? Jesus. Jesus is the name of the Son. The Holy Ghost is the helper. It's the one that was promised by Christ the day that He came. He said, I will send a helper. So we know about the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's pretty much the name. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to say. But then we have God the Father. We have God who, in my opinion, yes, they are three beings. But they are also one. They are unified. They are the same Spirit. They have the same genuine makeup on them. Let's just look at it this way. All of them are interchangeable at many times within the scripture. And I'm going to take you to a place in scripture today that you probably didn't think about. But go back to Genesis for a moment. Now, this is actually a little bit, I didn't even think of going here until just a few moments ago. But Genesis tells us some things. It's kind of interesting, though, if you look at how Genesis works. You see God and God and God and God, and then you see Lord, and then in the New Testament we see Holy Spirit, But it's kind of interesting to me in that it says here in Scripture, the first chapter says God. That's all it says. It just says God. It says God. But then you get to chapter 2, and then you get past the first few verses, and it says, and the Lord God planted a garden. Now, what's the difference in God and Lord God? What's the difference in where it just says God, Lord God, and then it just says Lord? What's the difference in all of this? Well, I had it presented to me one day, and I actually think it fits. Maybe these are the different views of Jesus Christ, of God the Father. I mean, is this the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that we see in Genesis? Now, I just want to throw that out there for you, because what we see is that God created the heavens and the earth. The Lord God was the one who walked the earth with them and walked in the garden with them. And then sin entered the picture, and all of a sudden it just became Lord, and God was removed from that. So the one who walked the earth would have actually been the embodiment of God in the Lord. I mean, there's ways we could look at it in that way, right? So what we see is that the name of God, the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit actually might have been given to us in the Old Testament. We actually do know the name of God. If you don't believe me, think about Moses. I mean, what we see in Genesis is that as much as there is a difference, we can rest assured that Jesus is God in the flesh, that the human embodiment of God and the Holy Spirit is the helper that was promised. So, you know, when we say Emmanuel means God with us, and then we talk about the Holy Spirit being God in us, then what we truly see is that it's the same being. But whatever name we use, we can say this, that God the Father, the creator of the world, Lord God, as we see in the early part of Genesis, would be Jesus probably. And it was separated from his people, and it became Lord and the Holy Ghost. And we go through all of that. But what we see is that his name was given in Scripture. And Moses was standing before a burning bush, and he said, who shall I tell them sent me? And God gave a name. He didn't say, Moses, tell them it's God. Don't worry about it. Just tell them it's God. Because no one wanted to hear God. No one wanted to hear God's name, because if Moses had walked in and said, God sent me, they would have been like, okay, which one? But Moses was told to say, who shall I tell them sent me? And God's response was, I am that I am. God gave us a name. He gave us a full name. I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you. Tell them I am. Don't tell them I was. Don't tell them I will be. Tell them I am. And God gave us his name, and his name is I am. We talk about all things. I'm going to tell you. Joe asked a question in Sunday school this morning, and it made me think about this because of the fact that in this service, what we see, it says God gave Moses his name, and his name was I am. Well, God was essentially saying, I am love. I mean, we look at the scripture. It's all through the New Testament. It's all through the Old Testament. God is love, right? We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. I am love. I am heartache. I am trouble. I am the solution. I am not the problem. Definitely not the problem. God's not the problem, although we make him the problem many times. God is everything that we have going on in our lives. God created it, but who created God? No one. He was. He is. Not was, because there is no past tense of God. There is no future tense of God. God is. He is. I am. Meaning, you know, you look at the different English breakdown of what it is, I am, to be, whatever. God's name is I am. Jesus even alluded to this in the New Testament when they said, well, you know, are you, know, who are you, or are you the Son of God? And he answered, I am. But then also they asked him, they said, who are you? And he said, before Abraham was, I am. You know, they're asking these questions that they want answers to because they want to call it blasphemy. But Jesus answered honestly. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say anything about being before Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Meaning, Jesus had no grasp of time, just like God. There was no earthly time in all of this matter. Jesus was simply saying, before Abraham, I'm there, I'm here, I'm there, I'm tomorrow, I'm the next day. I am the problem that you need fixed. I am the solution to that problem. I am love. I am gentleness. I am kindness. I am temperance. I am everything that the Christian walk is about. I am. Is it easy for God to love? Absolutely, he is love. Is it easy for God to be self-controlled? Absolutely, he is self-control. God's name is I Am. And when we see that today, we can also discern that Jesus' name is I Am and the Holy Spirit's name is I Am. So then we get into the age-old debate about which name that we should be baptized under. Because in Matthew, Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, 38, Peter says to go and baptize in the name of Jesus. So which one is correct? This has become a debate within the church. This has become a debate that has split churches. I'm going to tell you right now, both are correct. And the reason I believe that both are correct is because when Jesus came to this earth and God named him, through Mary and Joseph, God was given a name. And if we baptize in the name of Jesus, then by all means, that's okay because he is. But if we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, he is also that. So what name should we baptize under? It doesn't matter. Let me explain it to you this way. Science class, I don't necessarily talk about science that often up here other than to say that, you know, science every day proves the Bible right. But I want us to look at it in this way. If we don't understand what the Trinity is, we don't understand that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are the same thing. Let me talk about water for a moment. We all know water, and it has three states, right? You've got water vapor, you've got water, and you've got ice. Well, let's just put this together for a moment. God is like water. Easily flows in and out of crevices, easily fills up things. He easily can take control of a situation. Easily can move in and out of places in a way that just, it's fluid, it flows, and it fills up. If you want to understand a representation of God, look at water. Pour water over something and just watch what it does. Watch how a river flows. Watch how it moves around the rocks. Watch how the troubles don't seem to be trouble for water. In fact, sometimes when a lot of water happens, things get knocked down. Flooding. You think about how much damage water can do. This is our God. And then you take the solid form, an ice cube or something frozen, and that is the embodiment of God. That is the embodiment of water in a solid form, something we can see, touch, something we can hold. Jesus Christ was that for God. Jesus was that embodiment that we saw. He walked this earth. He was holdable. He was touchable. And he was also given for us. And then the Holy Spirit being the water vapor, it's all around us. It's what makes up our atmosphere. How much of our atmosphere is actually water in a gas form? It's the Holy Spirit who can get places that nothing else can, who can be breathed in, who can be part of who we are. The Holy Spirit is like water vapor. So when we look at the three states of water and we realize that it's all still water, then what we also see is that here, God can exist in three states. And it's just like water. So now do you maybe understand why there's this analogy of living water that Jesus talks about? There's this analogy of what water truly can mean spiritually for us. God is living water. He is the living water that gives us life, that gives us hope, and He is our life. Water is our life. We need water to live. Our bodies are 70% water. There's probably a reason for that. I find it fascinating, if we get down to the science of Christianity, what God has actually done in our bodies and done for us that we have neglected to see. Because we've gotten too wrapped up in trying to explain it with something else. Water is available in three states. So is God. And He lived an example for us. And He sent us a helper. We should not get so wrapped up that we forget that God and Jesus are one. We should not get so wrapped up that we are one in them. Jesus prayed that to make us one like He and the Father were one. And that He and the disciples were one. So we have that opportunity to become one. And I believe that that starts when we obey. That starts when we believe and are baptized, whether it be with the Holy Spirit, whether it be by water, or whether it be by both. Belief and baptism happens because we believed first. When we believe, we see God do great things. So Jesus does say to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peter does say to be baptized in the name of Jesus. But what it really all comes down to is, are you being baptized by the Holy Spirit? Are you understanding that God is your Father? Are you understanding that Jesus lived a life on this earth to exemplify for you how to live? And are you putting it all together in the fact that this, that we are His, we are called to His purpose, we are called to be baptized as a representation of our obedience, that we want Him in our lives. But if it doesn't happen, if something comes up and keeps us from being baptized, that's not a problem. At least physical baptism. We get too wrapped up in what this water means behind me, and we forget that what the representation of this might be is that this is God. And we are being completely immersed in Him. And when we come up anew, He is still within us. And He lives in us. And He has washed us clean. And He has given us hope. And it all started with the cross. Because Jesus came to this earth knowing that there was no other way for us to come to the Father but through Him. We needed that physical, solid embodiment of Jesus Christ. Or else none of the rest mattered. God had to be available to us in three states. God has always had to be available to us in those three states. And that is where we stand today. So when we go back to the question, when we go back and we ask the question, what are the names of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost? It comes down to one, and His name is I Am. And He says, I am God. I am Jesus. I am the Holy Spirit. I am your lifeblood. I am your salvation. I am your love. I am your breath. I am your life. And without you recognizing my first name, you can't add a third word to anything. You can't add that third name to anything. You have to start with I Am. God is love. He is salvation. He is our hope. He is our future. He is our plan. He is whatever we need Him to be. And He offered us the opportunity to be baptized under His name, whatever name that might be for us today. So if you're baptized under the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's great. If you're baptized under the name of Jesus, that's wonderful. Just be baptized by the Holy Spirit and allow it to take hold in you today. I don't think it's wrong if you were baptized under one name or under three, because those three are still one, and that's still the one name that the other is. But sometimes we lose sight. We fall into this trap of believing that we need to see everything in this exact human science. And the truth is all we need to do is just see it through our spiritual eyes every once in a while. Go back to the scripture and realize that our faith is our sight, not physical things that we see. We can look around us all day long and we can figure out that
the things around us in this world, we see them, we can touch them, we can feel them. God knew that, so he sent Jesus. Jesus became that, that we could see, touch, and feel. But now we have to go on faith again because he's not here. 2,000 years ago, he was here. He walked this earth and he died on the cross. But now we have to go with people's word. We have to go with Matthew. We have to go with Mark. We have to go with Luke. We have to go with John. We have to understand their story. We have to understand what they're saying about Jesus Christ. And each one of them seems to think baptism is pretty important because the Savior himself was baptized. So I believe that baptism is vitally important within our faith. But if the opportunity is not there for us to be baptized, if water was not available, physical baptism may not be what the Scriptures say. Because there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Does that mean we shouldn't physically be baptized? I don't think that's up to me to decide. It means that it's obedience. Jesus was physically baptized, and I think we want to be physically baptized to show that we are set apart. If you have a decision that you need to make this morning, please, don't leave here today without making it. If you don't, that's great. But what I want to see each one of us understand today is that Jesus Christ came. He believed in God. He was baptized. And he was God. And he died for your sins. And he sent us a helper that offers baptism. It's kind of a funny situation how all that works out. But let that helper baptize you with the Holy Spirit today. Let that helper be your baptism. And then if water baptism follows, awesome. If not, that's great too. But we today must understand that Jesus Christ is the name by which we must be saved. There's only one way. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you want to give it a name, give it the name of Jesus. Because that's the name that we also see in Scripture. That at that name, at that mention, at that name today, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, even the demons. And they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he Lord of your life today? Stand as we sing 201, Just As I Am. We'll sing the first and last verses.